This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1203. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by Old Second Bank. I'm Jim Gudis.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got sunny skies, but temperatures are heading south. The AccuWeather real field temperature will be below zero at times today. And overnight tonight, we're expecting a low temperature of 4 degrees.
Let's see what's happening on the markets right now as we check in live with Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Jim and Chris, this market will not be kept down. The Dow is up 137 points, so we're looking at a 260-point swing in the day in just a half session so far. The NASDAQ is up 21 points and the S&P higher by 10. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also gaining a little more than a tenth of a percent. The nation's employers picked up the job-cutting pace in January. Locally based Challenger Gray and Christmas says last month announced jobs cuts jumped nearly 44,700. That was a 38% increase from December. Retailers led the way. Despite that jump over December's numbers, January announced job cuts were almost 3% lower than the same month a year ago. Economists were expecting a small increase in jobless claims for the week. Instead, they fell by 1,000 to a total 230,000. That's a 45-year low. New claims have fallen 8% over the past year. And carmakers are posting disappointing sales results for January. Ford sales down a worse than forecast 6.3%. GM overall sales increase of 1.3% year over year, but that compared to forecast for a gain of about three times that. And Fiat Chrysler sales tumbled a worse than forecast 13% in January compared to a year earlier. Back to you, Chris and Jim.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're talking about the new information we have about the economy. And developers here in Chicago have some big plans for the West Loop. Some residents say those plans are a little too big.
We'll take a look at what's driving the markets today. They are up. They were a little bit shaky to start the morning, but they have picked up quite a bit as we've gotten into the noon hour. We'll also, on Technology Thursday, take a look at Facebook. And we'll also see what's driving or not driving new car sales. It's all ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A pair of major residential developments are planned for Chicago, both in the West Loop. We'll get the details in our next segment. Right now, it's a big day of data ahead of tomorrow's government jobs report for January. And we're joined by Jim Key, the president and chief economist of South Texas Money Management in San Antonio, Texas. So,
hi, Jim. Specifically, we're being told once again that productivity has fallen. This is in the fourth quarter, and economists are blaming soft productivity on a shortage of workers. Can you explain that connection?
You know, when I look at the I don't really like the way a lot of the productivity numbers are calculated. There was a Nobel Prize winner, Edward Prescott, who once said that productivity is more a measure of the viability of the regulatory and legal institutions than anything else. But as a straight mathematical, it's a function of output per unit of input. So anytime output's a little bit less than expected, since inputs, labor in particular, doesn't bounce around like GDP does, it makes the productivity numbers bounce around as well.
Do you think the new White House corporate income tax rate change is going to affect the economy in a big way?
Absolutely. And it's a big deal. But more importantly, it's occurring. The other half of that equation is we've had a change in the regulatory tone from a very activist hands-on philosophy for the last 10 years to more of a hands-off laissez-faire attitude on the regulatory front. So what makes it particularly exciting, I think, going forward is you have business corporate tax cuts occurring in a sea change on the regulatory front. That's why I'm a little more optimistic.
And for the people in the United States who are the lower income people in the United States, what does this and the other the other of the president's tools, what will this do for them?
Well, it'll of course help. You know, growth at all income levels is better than faster growth is better than slower growth or decline. So it'll help to some extent. But you know, basically, from an economics perspective, people are paid based on their productivity. So the real key, and there's a little bit of this mentioned, I think, in the president's speech this week, the real key to picking up the lower end is increasing their ability to add value, which is really education and training.
The numbers are looking fairly promising. Anything you see on the horizon that might give you reason for concern?
Well, plenty of things. Most of it is it's been a long time, you know, maybe last summer, 2016, since we've had a pullback in the market, 5% or more, and we've had about 14 months in a row of straight gains. So I think pullbacks and corrections are inevitable, but I think when you have them occurring in such a stable environment, you're going to get a little bit more of a panic than you would normally. So I think people are going to freak out a little bit more with what is really a normal pullback than they would. That's believe it or not, what I'm most concerned about over the next quarter or so.
So, Jim, your advice is expect it to happen and don't worry when it does, because it's sort of the part of the natural cycle.
Absolutely. Expected but not predictable is the way I look at it.
What would you be advising? I know you're an economist and you're not a market person, but where do you see opportunity right now?
Well, it's interesting because last year was a pretty narrow market. The largest five stocks in the S&P drove about a quarter of the gain, so that's maybe 1%. So I think we're going to see a broadening this year. So not that tech is going to sell off a lot, but I think you're going to see it in some of the value areas that really have been lagging the growth stocks really during this entire rebound, but in particular last year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the industrial, some of the cyclical sectors doing well, as well as financial stocks. Bank deregulation is still very much on Jerome Powell's lips as he takes over from Janet Yellen. So I think more non-tech opportunities this year than we saw last year.
And what do you expect to see tomorrow when the government reports employment?
Well, I kind of look at the three-month average. Statistically, that's kind of the best predictor, and that's maybe 186,000. Last month's number at 148,000 was pretty a little below expectation. So north of 150, I think, and the market will greet that well. Anything too far below it, and you might see a little bit of a sell-off.
All right,
I'll go with the three-month average of 186,000. How's that?
I'm glad you got that in. Jim Key, the president and chief economist of South Texas Money Management in San Antonio, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up, a planned development would be the tallest building in Chicago west of the Kennedy Expressway.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, developers have some big plans for the West Loop of Chicago. Let's check in with Albie Galoon, senior reporter at Crane Chicago Business. What are we possibly going to be seeing, Albie?
So Chicago developer Related Midwest unveiled plans for two tall buildings in the Fulton Market neighborhood. This is the area of the West Loop. It extends about 10 blocks west of the Kennedy Expressway. And Related wants to build a 51-story building, condo tower with 300 condos at Randolph in Peoria, which is really in the heart of the Fulton Market neighborhood. And Related also wants to build a 58-story tower at Randolph and Halsted, just west of the Kennedy. And that would have a 165-room Equinox hotel and 370 apartments. And these are taller than anything that exists in the neighborhood right now. So they're kind of controversial, and Fulton Market is the really the hottest neighborhood in the city. Developers are pouring in with new proposals, it seems, every week, but no one has proposed anything this tall.
Some of the residents, of course, are saying it's too big, too many people, too much activity, too much cement. But is it possible that it could be scaled down a bit?
Well, I think based on what I've heard from the Alderman Walter Burnett represents this neighborhood, and some of the community groups, it sounds like related might have to shrink the 51-story tower on Randolph in Peoria. That's right in the middle of Fulton Market neighborhood, and I think there's some concern that it would ruin the character of the neighborhood at that height. And you know, the other question is, you know, what do you do if you approve one tower of 50 stories plus? What do you say to the next developer who comes along with a building just as big? So I just think that, it's a neighborhood of low-rise buildings. These are squat brick buildings that used to be used by meat packers and food wholesalers. And the city has tried to preserve the character of the neighborhood through zoning and landmarking and things like that. So I think that probably explains part of the opposition to at least the building on the west side.
I remember in the most recent pullback in the economy, how we weren't seeing cranes on the skyline for several years. Has all of that come back to Chicago now?
Well, the apartment market has been really strong for several years now, and you'll recall that it was really the condo market the last time around before the financial crisis that was on fire, and there was a condo bubble in this town. This time, it's apartments, and the Fulton Market is getting its share of apartment buildings. And you know, there's some concern that the apartment market is overbuilt. Rents have started to fall, so we'll see. It's definitely a hot market right now.
We've seen big projects be announced and then not happen. Is there any risk of that with either of these two?
Yeah, definitely. This is the beginning of a process. Developers usually, for projects of this size, they need to go before community groups. These are, you know, neighborhood groups made up of residents, and the developers will present their plans to these groups, and then the aldermen of the neighborhood will weigh that input heavily in making his or her decision on whether to support this project. In the city council really won't even consider a zoning change for a big project without the alderman's support. And so, you know, Alderman Burnett has already come out and said, I think that we need to shrink the size of at least one of these towers. You know, I don't know that it's gonna kill these projects outright, but I think that after this give and take, related probably will have to make some changes at the alderman's request.
Albie Galoon, the senior reporter with Crane Chicago Business, appreciate your insight on this story. Still ahead on Technology Thursday, Facebook is thriving as the company changes how it delivers its news feeds. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's check in on the markets live at Bloomberg with Elisa Parenti. This report is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks.
Well, Jim, we have gains across the board. The Dow is up 133 points, or 0.5%. NASDAQ advancing 26 points, and the S&P higher by 11. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 0.2%. We've got crude oil futures headed higher. They've reclaimed $65.50 a barrel. We've also got a check of the grain markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Had lower prices early. We've come back from the lows, but corn was down as much as 3. We're down 0.75 cents right now at 3.92 and a half. Beans were down as much as 17 to 18 on wetter weather in South America. At noon, they made that a little bit drier, so we've come back some, but beans for July at 10.08 and a quarter, down 8. They went all the way to 9.98 and a half, down 17 to 18. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Goodis, and welcome back to the Thursday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by Old Second Bank.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks rallying. We'll see what's boosting the markets.
Technology Thursday, Facebook shares hit an all-time high as the company reports better-than-expected fourth-quarter earnings and sales.
General Motors is the only Detroit automaker to report a sales increase in the first month of the new year.
The Tinley Park Police Department Department has released a new 3D image of the man suspected of killing five women at a Lane Bryant store 10 years ago.
The Bulls and New Orleans Pelicans agree in principle to a trade involving Nico Maritich.
And on Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrial is up 129, the NASDAQ up 27, S&P 500 up by 11.
WBBM News Time, 12:31. Markets are higher, and we're joined by Michael Palumbo, the founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. So, Mike, let's talk about the markets today. And it started off kind of slow. They were sort of in, not quite sure if they wanted to gain or lose. And then suddenly they started to get some momentum.
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Jim. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was a slow start, a small down day on the open. I think that was maybe follow through from the last few days. Sluggishness, and I would just attribute that to really just month-end profit-taking. January was such a good month. We were probably due for a couple of days where people took some profits, but then once people digested the earnings this morning, the markets have now hit pretty much the highs on the day, with the S&P now up about almost 0.4%.
What are the earnings telling you about what a good strategy would be moving forward with your portfolio?
Well, fourth quarter numbers have been really, I would say, the best I've seen in many years as far as growth on the earnings side, and especially growth in sales. That's been something that's been lacking in past earnings reports, is that the top line numbers haven't grown that much. But this quarter, we've seen an acceleration of sales numbers, and stock in particular just reported this today was MasterCard, and they showed great growth, especially coming from overseas. I think part of that is being caused by the weaker dollar.
Does it tell us something as we go from stock to stock? Do they tell us something about the economy?
Well, everything points to things are as good as they could be. We're kind of in a sweet spot where we don't have high interest rates, but yet stock earnings are at all-time highs. That is a pretty good Goldilocks situation right now for stocks, and we keep hitting record highs. We're only a percent or two below record highs in the S&P and Dow right now. And if things keep going the way they're going, we're going to keep going up. It's just a matter of can stocks continue to grow their sales, and it appears that in this environment they can.
How would you make a calculated risk right now?
Well, you know what? We always tell people that they should remain diversified, because recessions, down economic times are very hard to predict. In fact, it's almost impossible, including guys like Warren Buffett. They never try to predict those things. So remaining diversified is important. I think that you still have to hold some bonds here, even though rates are fairly low and bonds have not performed that well lately. You never know when the next economic downturn is going to happen. But I do think you do lean a little bit on the risky side, because the economy does look like it's going to continue to chug along here. I mean, the numbers have been great, and there's no sign anywhere of weakness at this point.
So what kind of risk are you talking about?
I would say you just go towards tech, because tech has outperformed the overall market very, very well in the last few years, especially at the start this year. And you look at Facebook today, up 4%. A lot of these stocks that people think can't keep going up, they are, and they're the places to be if you want to take more risk. So that would mean, you're looking at stocks that are a little more volatile. I mentioned Facebook, but I'd also include, Google and Netflix, and those stocks that have led the NASDAQ higher in the past. They continue to be leaders in this market, and I don't think that's going to change.
Now, those have been the sexy stocks. What would you say might be a surprise area that people might not be thinking about, but could provide some potential, even if they provide some risk?
Well, another risky market that actually hasn't done well, an industry that hasn't done well to start this year, but I like it a lot, is airlines. They've had a little bit of worry that there's going to be some fare wars, but I think they are in a very good position right now. I've advocated for them before. They've done well. American Airlines, some of the other airlines have done very well in the past few years. And I think that the slow start this year is just a buying opportunity. So there's a risky sector that hasn't done that well this year yet, but that I do think will end up the year being one of the best sectors out there.
Well, we understand today that MasterCard profits topped the street on holiday shopping, and that its shares rose as much as more than 4%, an all-time high. When you hear something like this about a company, does that mean that you really don't want to dive into it because it's gonna be higher?
You know, actually, these are the stocks that make the most money. Is the momentum guys? You know, yeah, that every so often you'll get a bad report and these things will dump 10-20%. But these are the stocks that have outperformed the market. You go with the winners. That's what's been happening over the last 5-6 years. MasterCard's a great example. You could have said that it was overbought 2 years ago, and you would have missed out on a huge further run up. So the stock's up over 3% today. The earnings were fantastic, especially overseas. Asia and the Middle East are growing. I think it was 22% overseas transactions gain this last fourth quarter. It's a great stock in a sweet spot where it's taking advantage of overseas sales. And any stock that has a significant portion of their sales overseas right now, I think, is in a very good position.
Michael Palumbo, the founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago, thank you so much for joining us. Ahead on Technology Thursday, Facebook's flying high.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday, and this afternoon we're discussing Facebook and an impressive end of the year for the social media giant. And we're joined by Scott Kessler, the deputy head of research at CFRA Research in New York. So, Scott, let's first talk about where you think Facebook's going to wind up, at least in your projections, in terms of price.
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me, Jim. So this morning, following yesterday's Q4 results and conference call, we raised our 12-month target price to $250 a share, and we reiterated our buy opinion.
Why do you think it is now going up that much more?
Well, I guess a couple of reasons. First of all, the company continues to deliver in terms of growth. For example, in the fourth quarter, they experienced 47% revenue growth with 48% revenue growth from advertising. And the other thing to keep in mind is that they have not even really started to monetize some of their more emerging properties like Instagram and Messenger and WhatsApp. And so we think there's a lot more growth where that's coming from, and the company's valued in a way where we find it attractive and we see further upside.
So even though the report on Facebook was a very positive, buying into it at this time would be a good idea?
Right. So, Chris, it's interesting that you asked that, because yesterday, right after the company reported results, the stock sold off, and it actually sold off well into the conference call. And I guess there are a couple of reasons for that. One is the headline earnings per share number was $1.44, and then, of course, in the footnote, the company said, oh, by the way, that includes a 77-cent charge related to the new tax law. So they actually reported $2.21 in earnings per share compared with $1.97 that was expected. Second is the fact that, frankly, there's a lot of concern and uncertainty related to what the company's doing in terms of its news feed and content and advertising, and so I think people were a little uneasy about that. And then I think the third thing is you saw daily active users and monthly active users growing each around 14%, which is very strong, but largely in line with estimates. And so I think there were a lot of questions about what the next driver for upside was going to be, and then they talked about how pricing for their advertising was showing signs of continuing to improve at a very healthy rate, and suddenly the stock went from down to up in aftermarket trading yesterday.
Any competitors or any other stocks that you like in this area?
So I think it's fair to say that there are, you know, a lot of companies to choose from. in the technology sector. My colleague Angelo Zeno has a buy opinion on Apple going into tonight's results. We think a lot of the concerns related to the iPhone 10 are already priced into the stock. Another related name that we like that's not necessarily in internet or social media is Oracle, which is a name that we think continues to be very undervalued and will benefit substantially from the tax reform package that should help them in terms of using foreign capital.
Scott Kessler, the Deputy Head of Research for CFRA Research in New York, thanks as always. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the report on January auto sales out today.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Not exactly a banner month for automakers, and there's concern about what's ahead in 2018. And joining us, as often does when we talk about Detroit and the Big Three, is Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter out of Detroit. So, Jeff, let's talk about why first the numbers, you know, weren't spectacular so far this year.
No, they weren't spectacular, but they're actually a little bit better than analysts were expecting, and that is a bit of good news. But you've got to look underneath the figures, and what we see is passenger car sales, other than a few vehicles like the Camry and the Civic, are not doing well at all, and just about anything with four-wheel drive is selling like crazy. So we've seen that trend really jump to start 2017.
I hear Toyota did very well, though.
Yeah, Toyota is leading the pack. They had a 17% sales increase. Now, they had big, big increases in sales of their new Camry, a totally redesigned model. And on top of that, their best-selling vehicle, again, was a RAV4 SUV. In fact, this was the best month ever for the RAV4. So the year's getting off to a great start for Toyota.
Does this have anything to do with the changing of the generations, the baby boomers getting older and the younger people who are buying autos?
Yeah, I think what's really happening there, the younger buyers, especially in urban areas like Chicago, are tending to go for the smaller crossovers, because it used to be if you wanted an SUV, if you wanted all-wheel drive, you had to go for something fairly big, fairly trucky. Now you don't. I mean, you can get a crossover that's the size of a Toyota Corolla, but it still has four-wheel drive, and it still has utility, and it's a lot easier to park, and you don't get to meet your gas station attendant nearly as much.
And when are we going to be seeing the cars that don't require a driver?
Well, you know, that's anybody's bet, and if I knew that answer, I would play it in Las Vegas. But right now, seriously, you're going to see some limited automated vehicles in fleets. Waymo, Google self-driving car system is going to be launching something in Phoenix this year, GM next year, Ford shortly after that. But there is a big leap between that and just being able to get into an automated vehicle and go wherever you want to go. So that's going to be the big jump, and nobody can really give you a straight answer there.
What about electric cars, Jeff? What's the prospect for them this year and in looking down the road?
Well, we're certainly seeing a lot more, and especially with high-end brands, European brands are particularly under pressure to add a lot of electric vehicles. And I had a chance to drive the Chevy Bolt, and once you get over that 200-mile range, you feel they're a little bit more practical, but there's still that longer recharging time. There's still the fact that I can't just jump in my car here in Detroit and drive right to Chicago. Those are issues. So we're going to see more choices out there than ever before. But the big question is, will there be enough buyers?
Okay, Jeff, we'll see you here in Chicago at the auto show this month. And thanks for joining us today. Jeff is the CBS auto reporter in Detroit, Jeff Gilbert. And if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's wind up the Noon Business Hour with a look at the markets, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the gains are winding down. The Dow is now higher by 47 points, and the NASDAQ is up just a fraction. S&P's gains cut to 3 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is now lower by 0.1%. Last month, Ford announced it would de-emphasize development and construction of passenger cars. in favor of higher margin trucks and SUVs. Well, that move appears to be justified as Ford says U.S. sales of its cars tumbled 23% in January from a year earlier. The company's truck sales rose 2.2%. Overall, Ford sales down a worse than expected 6.3% last month. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.